Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Happy Hour Report. I'm DJ Ash Jeffs.
And I'm DJ T Tuffs.
And this week, we are talking about Black History Month. So, on this week's show, I've invited DJ T Tuffs into a conversation surrounding Black History Month. We'll be covering Canadian heritage moments, overlooked important Canadian civil rights activists, and this year's Oscars, which coincidentally were not hashtag Oscars so white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little background on Black History Month. It's also known as African American History Month in the U.S., and it's an annual observance in Canada, Ireland, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and the United States. It began as a way for remembering important people and events in the history of the African diaspora, and it's celebrated annually in the U.S. and Canada in February, thanks for the shortest month of the year, as well as in October in the UK, Netherlands, and the Republic of Ireland. So yeah. Did you ever hear anything about Black History Month in school growing up?
I remember like my grade four class she did the thing. But shout out to Mrs. Nolan.
Life changer.
In terms of like a grand remembrance of anything, no, not really. Like yeah. Just that one profound way, but
yeah. I also agree with you. Like, I grew up in a small town as well, and I don't really think we talked a lot about Black history.
No. And it's like, I guess they feel like they quote unquote get away with it because like my school was very small and I think exclusively white, if not mostly white. So
yeah.
But that's where things got kind of confusing, I guess. So even though it's something we still should have been talking about. And
yeah.
Yeah. But
I feel like when Black history was spoken about, it was never Canadian Black history.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was very much like, and it was very centered on Martin Luther King, from what I can remember, which is fair because he did a lot, but he's not the only one. I mean, yeah, that's a very white way of looking at it because,
yeah,
that's, you know, he was peaceful and kind, and that's what everybody wanted to hear. So,
it's like very American centered, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, this week we'll be discussing a couple of influential Canadian Black history figures. So the first one I'd like to talk about is Viola Desmond. And so in preparation for today's show, I really wanted to find Canadian heritage moments because I remember like thinking they were so cool growing up and now being like, that's so interesting. But there's very few Black Canadian heritage moments that I was able to come across with. And then this is like the most relevant one that I could find. So Viola Desmond or Viola Davis, she, in 1946, she stood up to like segregation in a Nova Scotia movie theater, and made herself a civil rights icon, and for Black Canadians. And then in November 2018, so just this past year, $10 banknotes commemorating her officially entered into circulation. And this marked the first time that a Canadian woman was depicted on our money. So we do have a heritage moment. I'm not sure if it's ready to rock just yet. Oh, she's ready to go.
All right. You're good to play?
Yeah, here's a Canadian heritage moment.
All I wanted was to see a movie. One down, please.
I can't sell downstairs tickets to you people.
How dare they? I could afford to buy the more expensive ticket. I run my own business. But they refused to take my money. They left me there all night. On what charge? They said I didn't pay the theater tax. But it was really about color.
Sister Desmond, appeal this conviction and your community will stand behind you.
Do you have any idea what this will do to us?
So what are you going to do?
Make it right.
Viola Desmond's case inspired Nova Scotia's civil rights movement. She was pardoned 63 years later based on the injustice of her conviction.
So, when did you first hear about Viola Desmond?
I honestly can't tell you. It's probably way too late, honestly. Yeah.
I don't really remember hearing about her. Maybe I heard about her once in, like, the 10th grade, but I really don't think that there's a lot of discussion about her.
No.
A lot of people equate her to our Rosa Parks. Yeah, it's just really interesting that, like, after all this time, we finally are, like, recognizing that, oh, guess what? Canada's racist too. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the heritage moments that I found, there's one about the Underground Railway and like black people escaping and becoming freed people in Canada. But we don't talk about the discrimination that people face in those communities. And I have we have a little story that we're going to share a little bit later on in the show, just about a really good kind of case study of the life of a black Canadian. During the civil rights era and the racism that was faced here. And that racism still does exist in Canada. There's still reason for Black History Month. There's still a reason for, like, civil rights movements like, rights movements and activism. So, well, we'll be playing some of our songs from my Black History Month playlist. If you have Apple Music, hit me up. maybe we'll post a link on our Twitter at our report. But first up, we've got Erykah Badu, On and On.
Because it's flat on one side. You need to pick your afro daddy.
Welcome back. So we looked up Erykah Badu on the break because she's just wonderful, and we found out that yesterday was her 48th birthday.
Nuts.
She's wildly beautiful and talented, and I love her a lot.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I'm sure she's listening. She'll join our regular two listeners.
That's so funny.
So I'd like to share the story of Dresden, Ontario, and Hugh Burnett. So, Dresden, Ontario was a magnet for escaped U.S. slaves, and it was like a final stop of the Underground Railroad that offered freedom in Canada. But even 100 years later, descendants of those men and women couldn't get a meal in Dresden restaurants, play billiards in Dresden pool, or get a haircut at a Dresden barbershop. Even many of Dresden's churches were closed to people with dark skin. In the 1940s and 50s, Dresden was, like many places in Canada, segregated. But a local carpenter named Hugh Burnett helped transform Dresden and helped shape the civil rights movement in Canada. So, according to the Encyclopedia of Canada, from a young age, Burnett was aware of the effects of anti-black racism. One Sunday when he was 16, he got stopped by a truck that was traveling and the motorist had run out of gas. So he helped the man, and the man offered to take him out for lunch. So Burnett went along even though he knew he could be refused service, but he thought maybe with a white stranger with him, they would allow him to enter into a restaurant. And at that point, they didn't. Historian James Walker recalled that at that time, Burnett dedicated himself to doing something about that, and he resolved to fight racism in his community. So there's another incident that kind of was a turning point in Burnett's life and his commitment to challenging the kind of situation he was living in. So at the time, in 1943, he was 25 years old and living in Windsor, Ontario at that point, actually, with his wife Beatrice and working for the Ford Motor Company. And he went back to Dresden to visit his family. He went to a local restaurant wearing his army uniform. And to his dismay, the owner would not serve him. He promptly wrote to the federal minister of justice, Louis St. Laurent, informing the minister that by his historian, James Walker's account, that even in uniform, a black man could not be served in any Dresden restaurant. The deputy minister's reply simply stated that there was no law against racial discrimination in Canada at the time.
Hate is even uglier than capitalism in this time.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, they were like, no, you can't come into the restaurant. So in 1948, Burnett moved back to Dresden with his wife and children to join his uncles, William Percy and Bernard Carter, who were spearheading a group to address racism in the town. They called the group the National Unity Association, or NUA, and it was mostly made up of black farmers and tradespeople from Dresden and the surrounding area. Burnett became the group's secretary, key organizer, and lead spokesperson. Once in Dresden, he also established a successful carpentry business, and they were able to make like significant leaps forward in terms of civil rights, but it did take a toll on him and his family. So his family were targeted with anonymous threats and violence. Soon after the NUA's 1956 victory in Dresden, Burnett was forced out of the town to search for work, and his carpentry business was boycotted by angry white locals. In a CBC documentary, Burnett's daughter Patricia recalled how activism affected her mother and said that her mother had to compensate for her father's loss of employment, and that put a lot of strain on their relationship. But she does state that she thinks that her father was put on earth to do what he did, and mm-hmm. she's very proud of his activism. But after moving to London in 1956, Burnett kept a low profile, continuing his carpentry business and working for various companies, though he never came into the public eye as he had with the original Dresden story. Mm-hmm. And according to those close to him, he continued to support anti-discrimination organizing in Ontario throughout his lifetime. And in 1991, he passed at age 73. So the encyclopedia goes on to say that Burnett's efforts with the NUA to bring attention to racial discrimination in Dresden held a mirror up to Canadian society and forced a public reckoning with systemic racism in Ontario and Canada. He was instrumental in the push that led to both the Fair Employment Practices Act of 1951 and the Fair Accommodation Practices Act of 1954. This provincial legislation paved the way for more comprehensive human rights protections in Canadian law, including the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So why is this relevant? Well, obviously, Black History Month, and it's important to know these types of stories. I had personally not heard this story until a few weeks ago in one of my classes. One of my professors was sharing this, and I found an article actually about a CBC article about Waterloo company. So Flex We Talent, a theater group made up of members of Caribbean heritage, is now performing a play about Dresden, about Burnett's life and Dresden. So they've had three shows in Waterloo region and Guelph, and they have one more local show this month, and then they'll take it on the road to Dresden in May. Dates for those shows have not been finalized, but just like give a little search for that, Flex We Talent, or look up Hugh Burnett Dresden. You'll find very quickly. We can also share that on our Twitter. But yeah, so I didn't really share this story with you before coming in here today. Were you surprised to hear any of that at all?
I mean, Dresden specifically was news to me, but like I have no real associations with Dresden to like identify it as this or that, but it is good to hear these things just because we're so quick to be like better than the States, and I think a lot of the narrative just stops on like when people come to Canada or like came to Canada through the Underground Railroad, and they don't really talk about like they were treated very, very poorly.
Yeah.
And just because they weren't slaves doesn't mean it was like
exactly.
It's not a whole lot better, so and I think it's important for us to keep that in mind.
Yeah, we have our own issues with racism here in Canada in many different forms, and like as a Black woman that grew up in a small town, I can speak to the experience of like being othered in a really big way, because people assume that you can't be from here oh, you must be from an urban center, or you must be, like, which I, my parents were from an urban center, but, like, I grew up in a small town. Yeah. So it's, like, kind of assumed that you can't be from a rural area if you're a Black Canadian. It's assumed that you maybe migrated here, or you're first generation, second generation. Like, I mean, for me, some of those things are true. My grandmother came from Guyana in the 60s, and then my mom's family have been in Canada, like, forever, spent a lot of time on the East Coast. But for a lot of people, like, their family can be traced back, like, as long as there have been people in this country,
mm-hmm.
there have been people of different colors in Canada, and they're important in the Canadian history as well. I'd really like to see the show, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm just going to
be very interesting.
I'm just going to look up what the name of the show is. I can't quite remember.
I see. I was Googling Dresden on the map while you were talking, just because it's kind of near where I live, and I think my brother played hockey there, so it's kind of... And did you ever go to Uncle Tom's Cabin for a field trip?
I don't think so, but I think I've heard about it.
So I was just looking at that, and it's an open-air museum with buildings from an 1840s community for escaped slaves. And I definitely remember going there. I can't remember any specifics, but that was about the long and short of our Black History Month education.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I assume we went there because it's fairly close to where my school was in terms of what a bus is able to do in a day. But, yeah, it's... I'd be interested to know which kind of, like, information they promote, you know?
Yeah, to like, go back and look at it with, like, a magnifying glass. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know for me, I went to a plantation when I was younger, actually, in the South. I was, like, not, like, young. I was, like, 16 or 17. But it was, like, horribly uncomfortable for me. And I was on a school field trip, and I was there with, like, lots and lots of other students, most of which were white. And I think their experience of being in a plantation versus my experience of being in a plantation, like, they were very interested in seeing, like, oh, like, let's see the house, let's see all the nice things. And, like, I remember going into the slave quarters and being like, this is really real. Like, I'm the only person that got stopped on the bus coming into this country to, like, check my luggage. And now I'm, like, standing in this place and, like, I feel really, like, intense. But anyways, I found the name of the play. My place is right here, Hugh Burnett and the Fight for a Better Canada. So, I mean, it seems like a really interesting play, a really interesting story, and a really important part of Canadian history.
But yeah, if you want to get learnt, do your part.
Be alert, bench.
For this.
Yeah.
Black History Month.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, really great things that go on during Black History Month, a lot of great, like, advocacy that happens, but also it's important to remember that, like, Black people are part of Canadian history and world history, and our history extends much deeper than slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something I've definitely realized in recent years. Well, sounds like a time for a song break, and we'll come back a little lighter. But first, let's get mad with Solange.
Sorry, everyone.
About that weather.
I didn't open all the YouTube videos properly.
Mad Solange.
Welcome back, everybody.
Solange slaps.
That was so beautiful, and I feel very calm.
Yeah, okay, listen to A Seat at the Table if you're ever having, like, a moment where you're like, the world is complex and confusing and oppressive, but I still feel hope, and I just want to experience beauty.
That's a very specific emotion, but I stand.
But I felt it. No, I think, I mean, a lot of people know this. Beyoncé's sister is Solange, and I think people sleep on her because Beyonce's her sister.
Yeah, people are like, she's the one from the elevator, right?
Yeah, I'm like, well, now we know why she slapped Jay-Z, so we aren't mad anymore. But she's super talented, and her music is, like, wonderful. I've been listening to her stuff since, like, middle school. She had one song called, like, Tony, and it was about, like, I don't know, finding out she's pregnant. The whole video was very dramatic. I was, like, in middle school, like, wow, this is moving. But then she had another one called, like, I Decided. It was, like, very 70s inspired, and it was, like, it honestly, next week we'll play it. It slaps. It's great. It's amazing.
Next week is our Solange episode.
Yeah.
Heard it here first.
Next week, the theme. Y'all been sleeping on these artists, and then it's just us. We'll just take an hour-long nap. But anyways, great, great song. Great artist. I'm really jazzed up about her. And some other things that have me jazzed up this week, the Nike ad that just came out.
They're doing it. They're going for it.
They've been really supportive of a lot of, like, influential celebrities within the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how they treated Colin Kaepernick, that was pretty good to, like, support him. Apparently he was signed on before. I've heard, like, controversy about that, but it's, like, when it was...
I heard they signed him very early, but they're like, we gotta wait this, so it'll be, like,
boom. Pop.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, again, my sources are Twitter, so...
As long as my dude is getting a fat check from it, and...
He's getting the check he deserves.
I'm sad that he signed a non-disclosure agreement with the NFL, because I really just want to know everything.
Oh, yeah, I would love to know what goes on.
With my close and personal friend, Colin Kaepernick.
Colin, me and him.
Yeah.
Pals.
We call him Capper. That'd be if he was like a Southwestern Ontario hockey boy.
Capper.
where was I? Oh, this ad, Nike, depicts a lot of really strong women of diverse backgrounds. I know that our show is centered around Black History Month, but I think that Nike has been really supportive of the Black community and athleticism with people that are marginalized. So it's pretty cool. So we're going to play the audio from this commercial, this ad. We're not sponsored by Nike.
We wish we were, but we're not.
Yeah, hit me up with some kicks. But... Give it a listen and pull it up and watch it and experience the feels.
If we show emotion, we're called dramatic. If we want to play against men, we're nuts. And if we dream of equal opportunity, delusional. When we stand for something, we're unhinged. When we're too good, there's something wrong with us. And if we get angry, we're hysterical, irrational, or just being crazy. But a woman running a marathon was crazy.
Officials tried to pull her off the course.
A woman boxing was crazy. A woman dunking? Crazy. Coaching an NBA team? Crazy. A woman competing in a hijab? Changing her sport, landing a double cork 1080, or winning 23 Grand Slams, having a baby, and then coming back for more? Crazy, 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 and crazy. So if they want to call you crazy, fine. Show them what crazy can do.
Eyes are watering.
I love Serena Williams. I don't even care about tennis, but I just love her so much.
I love it so much. Oh, that was beautiful. I did that too the first time that I saw it.
It's... The visuals are really stunning also, so if you're... I really think you should watch it.
Yeah. Not that her sweet, smooth vocals don't...
Her, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, just... tingles over you, you know?
It really is very beautiful. And, like, yeah, you were saying that she was called crazy for...
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure she, like, broke a racket one time because she was, like, frustrated about something and everyone's like, whoa, like, I don't... So people... I think she really gets the short end of the stick because people love to catch her slipping.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally or whatever, but, like...
Yeah.
She acts like a normal human being and people are, like, so, like, have this lens on her just, like, waiting for her to mess up. That, like, men don't have, especially, like, white men, of course, but, so, I just, like, feel like everyone should, number one, frick off, because she's so great, and, yeah, I don't know, I feel like everyone's just, like, waiting for her to fall, or slip up, or lose, and she's not gonna do it.
She just had a...
She won't.
Did she name her daughter Olympia? Was that her?
I don't know.
Anyways... She's super talented. Also, There's Casper Semenya, the woman runner from, I'm not sure where, but the people kept testing her to prove her gender.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching her in the Olympics, yeah.
And, I mean, it just, a lot of the time, very muscular Black women are painted in the media as, like, threatening or, like, trans, like, they misgender them or miss, like, identify them in so many ways. And, I mean, like, get people's identities right. It's
that. Just, and it's like, you got beat. Stop trying to, like, take something from someone just because, like, it's so stupid. They're just, like, looking for any reason to, like, bring people down, you know?
Exactly. We talk for, like, an hour a week, and, you know, we have two listeners, and we still try to get people's genders right and their information right, so.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, like, yeah, it's literally the simplest thing you can do for somebody. Like, I don't know why it's such a big freaking deal with these people. But.
Exactly. Well, that was just, like, absolutely beautiful. I love that ad. Makes me really feel warm and tingly. My brain feels happy. We have another song on the playlist for Black History Month that we want to play. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the Oscars and what that kind of...
how that fits into the theme.
Fits into the theme. Some highlights. Some lowlights.
Some question marks.
Balayage. And in the meantime, here is Glory, Common, and John Legend.
When the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours, oh, one day.
Wow.
great song. That song actually has taken home so many awards. So, 2015 African American Film Critics Association, Best Music, Academy Awards 2015 Best Original Song, BET Awards Best Collaboration, Black Reel Awards Outstanding Original Song, Critic Choice Movie Awards Best Song, Golden Globe Award Best Original Song, and then in 2016 it took home Grammy for Best Song Written for Visual Media.
And if that doesn't say enough to you,
it's just great. And it's from Selma? Yes. Yes. Featured in the 2014 film Selma, about the civil rights movement leader, Jane. Yeah, cool stuff.
A nice segue into our Oscar chat, I think.
Yes,
talking about past winners.
Winner, chicken dinner. So, T, what's the tea?
Well, there is so much chaos associated with the Oscars. Apparently, this time it's not because they were being
too white.
Yeah, so that's a small step, small victory. But, so the best picture at the Oscars on Sunday was Green Book, which I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't personally.
I haven't. I've heard mixed reviews.
But I see that there's a lot of controversy surrounding it, so I looked into that. And so they have already been criticized for kind of creating a quote-unquote magical Negro storyline, but now the family of Dr. Donald W. Shirley, who's portrayed in the movie by Mahershala Ali, they are criticizing the movie because they say there's a lot of falsehoods associated with it, so they're all coming forward and being like, yo, this is not it. So they pointed to, I guess in the movie, Dr. Shirley is portrayed as being estranged from his family, and they were like, kind of hurt by that because that was absolutely not the case. They said he was in regular contact with all his family members, and they were kind of hurt to be like kind of cut out of the narrative, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough. And they said the lies continue in terms of, they said Dr. Shirley and his driver had this like profound bond and they were good friends, and they were like, no, it's kind of just an employee-employer relationship. Nothing about what it's the long I don't know, whatever the driver's name is. It wasn't anything spectacular outside of what any of his other arrangements with other employees have been. So also the family claims that the Dr. Shirley never wanted the movie made on him, which is goes in contrast with what the writer of the book said. He said he consulted him 3 decades ago about making a movie and got his permission, but the family said my uncle had been approached and he flatly refused. So
wow,
there's a lot of so I guess Mahershala Ali called the family and apologized because he wasn't aware of any of this. I assume obviously that, because I don't think he would have involved himself in such a convoluted project if he did, but he profusely refused, so they were happy to receive that. But kind of crazy that all that was able to happen without them even, like, so many falsities, I guess.
Yeah.
And especially when it's, like, a remembering your family member, that's not really how you want things to go down, so.
Oh, because now there's, like, this collective memory of this person that's completely constructed. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I've heard, is kind of that it does whitewash his story a bit and make other people more important in his narrative than they were,
mm-hmm.
which I guess was, you really stated that very well. But yeah, there was a lot of, that is controversial. Yeah. There were some really great pictures up for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some just like Black Panther won everything.
Yes. Yeah. They did it. They really, I have here what a best production design, best costume design. I think there was another one.
They had.
Those two stood out to me because the women who accepted the awards
were
so
freaking
great.
Cute and amazing.
Hannah Beechler was the production designer. And her speech, her hands were shaking, and she said such nice things about the director.
Oh, she was so cute.
Yeah,
she was with the chain.
Yeah, yeah, with the glasses, and her hand was shaking with her script.
They're
the beautiful red dress.
Yeah, such a gorgeous dress. That's exactly what it's going to say. Yeah.
Seems like such a dope individual.
Yeah.
And, the best costume design was Ruth E. Carter, and she was really funny, and she was great. Her speech was, I think this year, I haven't watched it probably all the way through, like, before. I've seen bits and pieces, but I think having people do the speeches and then, like, not having a host actually kind of worked out.
Yeah, I liked
anyway.
It. I was more engaged because it was like, oh, I'm not. I don't really watch award shows yet. Oh, Black Panther was the winner of Best Original Score as well. And, yeah, you said production design, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I just got distracted when I was taking notes about Hannah Beechler because she's so cute, and I Googled her and then went down a rabbit hole of thinking about her. But yeah. If you want a little tingle, you should look up her speech. Right after you look up the NICAD. So.
Yes. And she's so, like, there was a lot of speeches that I found, like, just so cute. It's also really sad when they cut people off. Like, that's always really sad when they're, like, the mic goes off and then the lights go off and you're like, oh, this person's not going to get their moment and this isn't
Oscars. Especially when it's a group and one person just, like, snatches the narrative. Like, maybe they planned it, I can't say, but, you know. Then somebody's trying to say something, they get cut off. So.
They're like, I love you, Mom.
Yeah, and it's like, da, da,
da. I feel like if that was me, I'd start, like, yelling in the theater. I'd be like, y'all can still hear me, right?
Yelling to the crowd, hoping they spread my message. But.
So what were some of your, like, top moments? Like, your top, like, red carpet moments, your top performances? Like, what did you love? Because, okay, it's also really cool how we got to enjoy the Grammys this year, or not the Grammys, oops, Oscars. Princess Cinema has a whole theater, and you can go in and watch it. You just have to get your tickets ahead of time, and, I mean, you can have a couple drinks. I know our friends did. have some popcorn. I know everyone we were with did, too, and it was really great.
Yeah, I thought it was so cute. Like, I definitely would have watched it at home, but it's a nice way to bring, like, kind of a social atmosphere to it, but without having to, like, stream some bizarre link or have, like, a subscription to something. So I thought that was really nice, and maybe I would watch more award shows if they were presented to me like that.
Yeah, and the trivia on the breaks where you just won for participating, I wish life was more like that sometimes.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not winning for participating at school, so... Maybe I can fill this need somewhere else in my life. in terms of good things, I haven't seen Roma on Netflix, but we talked about the director a lot in my Spanish classes, Alfonso Cuarón, and I think from what I understand of the film and what I understand of him, it's really great. The movie won at least 3 Oscars, including Best Cinematography, Best Foreign Language Film, and Best Director, which is pretty prestigious considering who he's up against, like Spike Lee and other, I don't know, others. But, like, Spike Lee's enough to be held against. So. But, no, I think it was really great, and I don't know the woman's name, but she looked beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The main... It starts with a Y, I know that much.
Yuliana? No.
Yulitsa? I'm gonna Google it.
Yeah.
But she was so cute, and I think it's really great that she... I think she's on the cover of Vogue, maybe, too.
Dang!
And she's so beautiful, and I think it's great to see, like, a Latina that isn't what we often think of when we think Latina, which is wrong that we think that, I guess, because they're, again, their history predates imperialism and Spain's influence in that, so even before.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's, like, a lot of, like, more indigenous Latinas. There's a lot, like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
People are very, like, race is a social construct, and people look very in Latin America, just like they do everywhere else in the world. But we sleep on Afro-Latinas all the time. Like, Cardi B is Afro-Latina.
Mm-hmm. I saw online something about, like, someone asking, where is the Latina superhero movie? Or, like, the Latina superhero character? And they were like, Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Just because he... isn't what you thought of when you thought Latina doesn't mean I guess he would be Latino, but
yeah,
the point
Latinx, stands. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
What film again?
He's like the cartoon. So like
the
guess
the Spider-Verse one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because he's black, right?
Yeah.
So then people are like, no, but you're like
yes. His mom speaks Spanish, he speaks Spanish. That's all you need really to do that.
Yeah. Like it's your heritage, not your complexion, people.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you have more.
Yeah, her name, Yalitza Aparicio. She's so cute, and I saw on her Instagram that she, like, the pictures were all focused on her mom, and her mom was living and having a great time, but I just thought that was so cute of her to, like, shift the focus off herself and, like, let it be a night for her mom. Like, what a kind and sweet woman.
Oh.
I wish the best for her in life. So beautiful. Her dress was this, like, mint.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Seafoam color. Gorge.
That
gorgeous.
Was a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
I also really loved, was it the yellow one? Was that Constance?
Oh, Constance Wu, yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous. And Amandla Steinberg.
Oh, yeah, she's, oh my God, I'm gagged. She's so beautiful.
She did finger waves with braids. Like, she was like, I want cornrows, but I also want finger waves, and they're like, say no more because you're a mandala.
They were like, we'll do it for you.
Anything for you, my love.
Also, can we talk for 2 minutes about Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's performance? That was so, in my opinion, that was so sexually charged. I don't even like the dramaticness of it all. Drama, I guess it would be.
I literally made someone watch it and I was like, this is the most tension I've ever seen in my life. I think they just conceived in front of me. Like, it's literally...
Yeah, I was like, am I allowed to watch this in public? Like,
this is really intimate. And they were like, they're acting because the public likes it. I was like, excuse me. This is deeper. The way she looks at him, like, maybe he was acting a little bit, but, like, she is in love and he will love her back someday.
We're just waiting. No... I know it's, like, the popular narrative to be, like, his wife is in the way, but, like, no tea to her. I hope she's okay. Like, that must be, like, a difficult dynamic of a relationship that, like, I wouldn't even be able to fathom.
Yeah.
Like, thousands of people, like, screaming at you from behind their computers every day, but,
and they're like, take one for the team.
As much as I, in life, ship Lady Gaga and Bradley, I hope whatever his wife's name is. This is part of the problem, I guess, too, but...
Isn't she... is that his fiance? His girlfriend? His wife? His wife?
I'm saying wife, but I actually don't know. Let me Google this, too.
Maybe you just mean wifey.
Yeah.
But yeah, she... It's kind of similar to the Noah Centineo.
Oh, and Lana Condor, yeah.
Yeah, situation.
People want it so bad.
They're, like, mean. I thought she was Cristiano Ronaldo's ex-wife, but I also don't know, and I'm probably wrong, so.
Yeah, I'm finding inconclusive information. I feel like he's been involved with an interesting amount of people here. Because I don't know which one. They all kind of look similar, too, so I'm having a hard time zoning in on which one is
he's got a tie.
Current.
We'll get back to you on that next week.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah, it says literally 2015 to current, so that must be her.
Irina Shayk. Okay, I remember that name.
A Russian supermodel.
Oh, of course. Maybe. You know who's also great? Lady Gaga.
I'm sure she can bounce back from him if need be. Oh, yeah, she was with Cristiano for 5 years.
Wow.
Prior to Bradley. Dang, girl.
Well, lots were happening. Lots have happened throughout history and the present. I just want to shout out CBC has a series right now going on where they're highlighting Black artists on their Instagram page. So I've been following them all month, and I've really gotten to like look into some really influential people in Canadian art, and it's really great to see the representation of Black folks. Also, supporting actress, best supporting actress at the Oscars.
Regina King.
Wonderful woman. I haven't seen If Beale Street Could Talk. I really should have watched more movies before watching the
Oscars. I saw like two, so I cheered for them even though I have like nothing like, really to know.
A Star Is Born and Bow.
Yeah, like shout out to that short film I saw in my French class. Like,
but yeah, there's a lot of really great things. There's should be a lot of hope in the world. I mean, any words? Yeah. Any words you want to leave us off on, sign off on today?
I'd just like to say thank you to the Oscars for turning their shit around, because we saw so much more diversity this year, and they told Kevin Hart to take a hike when he wouldn't apologize, so I think that's really great. They did. I'm pretty happy with their efforts here, so. Maybe they picked a controversial Best Picture. That's not for me to say, because I don't really know. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, so it could be. I don't know. But the point is, you're trying, and I see that, and that's good enough.
Yeah. That's really, yeah. There's just a lot of Black excellence to recognize right now, and always. And it's really interesting. And I don't know. I don't really have anything inspirational to say today. Stay warm, my dudes.
Yeah. It's... I can't even believe it's been snowing this long, but...
I don't even know. It's at the point where I'm like, I don't know if I want a snow day or not anymore, because I'm like, my life is going to get messed.
White bullshit, both in, like, in the topic and outside, so...
White bullshit.
The theme of today's episode.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for listening and joining us. I'm DJ Ash Jeffs.
And I'm DJ T. Tufts.
And this was the Happy Hour Report.